You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the King of All Kings podcast.
J.J. Street Vibes.
Street Vibes.
Hosted by Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones.
Yeah, yeah. You already know the vibes, man. J Street Vibes. A happy J Street Vibes here as we got my main man, Jason Jones of The Athletic. Kenny Caraway of ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC is the show Monday through Friday. And we happy. Well, at least I'm happy. I don't think Jason's unhappy. He's not unhappy that the Kings won. But obviously, I'm the Kings fan here. I'm happy because the Kings go into Chicago somehow, some way, pull it out, 117-114. And Jason, that man, De'Aaron Fox, is him. A game-winning three with 0.7 seconds to go to give the Kings a 117-114 win in Chicago. And the game was really a crazy game, crazy ending. And, I mean, come on, man. De'Aaron Fox. Well, like Hov said, man, what more can I say?
He's all right, you know, I guess. You know, if you like game-winning shots, I mean – you might be impressed with stuff like that. You know, if you're in game winning shots, 30 plus points in a game, stuff like that. I mean, if that stuff gets you going, yeah, he's your guy.
32 points on the night, crazy enough. One assist for De'Aaron Fox. 32 points, one assist, three rebounds, but he was 12 of 17 from the field, 4 of 6 for 3. Obviously, his 4-3 was the biggest one of them all. The game winner, like I said, with 0.7 seconds left. It's funny, Jason. So today I had practice with the kids that I coach, and I'm coaching them, and I got the Apple Watch on. I'm checking the score a little bit, and I see the score going. We're doing something that lasts, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I go back to the watch to check the score, and it showed the Kings won 117-114. I was like, let's go. Great stuff. So I knew we had the podcast tonight, and I was like, well, let me go back and watch the fourth quarter. And I'm watching, and I'm watching, and Fox hits a shot over Beverly to make it 112-106. And I'm like, damn, I mean, did the Bulls hit a shot at the buzzer to make the score look different than what it was? Then DeMar DeRozan shoots a three and it's fouled. I said, wait a minute. Hold up. Did they tie this on a four-point play? 1-4-2. Wait a minute. Was it a foul? How did it happen? I didn't know how it happened. And then I saw how it all played out with De'Aaron Fox hitting that game winner. And, man, if I would have been watching that live, oh, yeah, I probably would have lost it. I would have lost it.
Yeah, I wasn't watching it live either. So – I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm like, let me go back. What happened? You know, but hey, like I said, you know, anytime you get a road win, you know, you know, I don't say they count double, but they mean something. You can go on the road and win.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, deal with the man that is Pat Bev, you know.
That's your boy.
How is that my boy?
Laker for life.
He said he's coming for the Lakers. So, yeah, we got.
Has he played them yet? They still got to play Chicago.
We got two games with Pat Bev. And Pat Bev basically said he's going to keep the Lakers out the playoffs. So,
Pat Bev need to shut the hell up.
Hey, man, Pat Bev could have been a king.
he didn't want to come to the Kings, man.
Lotte was trying hard to get Pat Bev and Zach.
Didn't want to be a king, man. But yeah, that was a crazy, crazy ending. And so oddly enough, last episode, me and Jason went back and forth about defense and all this other stuff. And I talk about their scoring and all this other stuff. Well, I honestly, Jason, the whole situation, the whole feeling I have derives not from the fact that they score 130 or whatever. It's this stat. I wish I knew exactly what it was. But when they score, we looked at it early, not early in the season, but maybe about a month and a half ago. And it was when they score 114 or more. They were like 28-6.
I thought it was 118, not 114.
Some other people might have seen it, but I went with 114 when I found the stat. It was 114. And it was like they were like 25-6 when they scored 114 or more. And this was like a month ago. If I had to guess right now, honestly, Jason, they're probably at like 33-9 when they score 114 or more. And it's not to say don't play defense. It was always to be like, well, damn, like this year when they score 114 or more, it seems like they get the W. And they were able to do that tonight. The other night they scored obviously 114 and lost. But
apparently somehow me saying that they got to play better defense sparked the whole no one plays defense in basketball anymore, so shut up, Jason, because no one plays. I'm like, that's not really true, but okay.
But it's not even that. It was more so of for me, when they score, they're hard to keep up with. And that doesn't mean that they can't be beaten. But man, it's tough for them to score. And what I saw tonight was, and I don't think this will be an issue for teams in the Western Conference playoffs, but Chicago is a pretty good defensive team. They held them, you know, below like 120 or whatever the case may be, below their average. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have enough offense to keep up. And I think that's what the Kings have been able to prey on a lot of these teams during the regular season. Like I said, in the Western Conference playoffs, I think all those teams, Minnesota, I'm going to have to see. But most of those teams can keep up offensively. Well, Memphis, I don't know about that either. But, you know, that's kind of what happens. They take these guys into deep waters, and they usually can't swim.
Yeah, my thing is just that you can't let teams shoot 50-40 consistently. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's just been my thing all year is that now if, say, the opponents on average were shooting about 45, I'd feel a little bit better about them defensively. But mm-hmm. when teams are consistently shooting 50, 51, that means those teams are always in the game from where I sit. And mm-hmm. that's always been my thing. It's not that they got to be the old school Memphis Grizzlies where they were, you know, I'm not asking for – I saw a replay of the Pacers and Pistons. It was like 66, 67 in the fourth quarter.
Tayshaun Prince came.
And I'm sitting there going, God, we had to watch that. That was terrible. You know, I'm not saying I want to see that. I'm just saying for the Kings' point of view, you can't just let teams shoot 50% all the time. Mm. And I'm not going to budge off of that, you know, 50-40, you know, to me that just it's too easy to score. And, you know, I know they can score, but the thing is when you defend like that and teams can shoot above 50 on you all the time, that means they're never out the game either. Mm. But, you know, that's been my only point. I mean, people are jumping on me like, oh, you just being a hater. I'm like, no, I would say this about any team.
Poor Jason Jones. The Kings fans have been jumping on him for years.
Oh, whatever. Some people, you know, they get 41 wins for the first time in some of their lifetimes, and now they want to tell me to shut up all the time. What do you know about teams making the playoffs?
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing this year, Jason. That's what we're doing.
I always told everybody, this team ever gets decent, not even good. If this team ever gets decent, oh, it's going to be hell to pay for the rest of the basketball world. And I see you every day. Y'all going after everybody who said anything ever in life about the Kings.
We got that Jericho list. We got that Jericho list, and we going down the list, man. You know, we got that.
Yeah, y'all. Yeah. I remember what you said about the trade last year. Never mind, a lot of people didn't like the trade in Sacramento either. They forgot that part of it.
We talked to those people too. But this game today, De'Aaron Fox, obviously, like I said, 32 on the night. I think I wish I had it in front of me. I think he had 15 in the fourth quarter.
Something ridiculous in the fourth quarter again. But
15 in the fourth
quarter. Maybe a tip off to tell De'Aaron that there's only 2 minutes to play, 8 minutes to play in the entire game, and see what he does.
Seriously.
Like, don't even tell him it's the first quarter. Just be like, oh yeah, De'Aaron, you know it's the fourth quarter, right? What? What it is? Oh, it's on. It's like, no. And then you're like, oh man, you lied to me.
Yeah, and it's time to turn up at that point. But he, you know, he had 32. Domantas Sabonis in 40 minutes of play, he only took 10 field goals in this game, but he was able to get 14 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, another triple double for Domantas Sabonis. The triple doubles aren't becoming a regular thing, but it feels like he either gets one or it's like assist or two shy of a triple double every night.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. The replay of the Kings game came on. Like, my man HB was holding on the Vucevic, too. And and he get the foul on the road. I'm like, my man, he got a bang for his buck. Poor HB. HB didn't even yell.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw. I mean, that's to be honest with you, it's a weak foul. It's a weak foul. But, I mean, they're going to make that call. And if anything – the foul on the 4-point play, if anything, they're not going to overturn it. Like, no. You could say maybe it shouldn't have been called in the first place, and I agree. But once it was called and they had to review it, yeah, they're not going to overturn it.
Because when you slow it down, there's contact.
Yeah, he touched his elbow. So
yeah, so I mean, it was a foul, and part of that is just that. I mean, y'all gonna get mad. That's bad defense. You can't touch that man. You up four.
Yeah, you got to get away from him. Don't even get your hands up in that
one. And that's HB. HB knows better. You can't get that close. You're up four. A three doesn't beat you.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you know, HB probably was like, hey, I'm going to do this so that, you know, I'm going to set up De'Aaron.
He did it for dramatic effect. You know, that's what happened. He did it for dramatic effect.
Yeah. So, I mean, but hey, you know, things happen, you know, and the basketball guys, you know, trying to balance out life for, you know, for the Kings this season.
It all balances out, which means we're probably going to go.
They got away with the Kendrick Nunn non-call.
I'm talking about the Kendrick Nunn non-call. Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, the basketball. The Kings
ever get a tweet about how the refs have sleepless nights after their missed calls?
No, and I literally did that
after one call.
That is still
only one call this year.
That is still the worst tweet in Twitter history. Because no one in the world believes that. Because here's the thing: when I was on the beat full time back in the day, I often would try to stay where the referees stayed hotel wise. Uh-huh. Sometimes you end up at the same bar with them, and you just shoot the shit with them, and you know, hey, this is going on. You know, ask them kind of about their job. Mm-hmm. I never once saw a referee sitting somewhere, you know, just by himself, face buried in a glass of bourbon, but he blew a call in the third quarter and someone fouled out because of him, or he's just killing a bottle of wine knowing that as they were, because the referees will do is they'll have the iPads and they'll sit together and go through play by play, you know, what did we miss? And that's why maybe part of the reason why I don't kill the refs as much as other people, because I know they're trying to do a good job. They're not trying to be terrible.
I'm sure they're not. You know what kills me about the referees is how they get suckered into calls like nightly. Like, we've watched enough NBA. We know when, I'll just throw James Harden. He's not the only one, but when James Harden goes to the basket and says the defender's arm is across his body, but it's not making contact. We all know James Harden is going to put his arm under the defender's and pull it into him. We all know that. And they get fooled for it every single time. Like, how How do you guys get played like suckers every time?
I don't know if they're getting played or they're just calling it the way the rule book tells them to call it, because that's part of the thing too. Before each season, they sit down with us and kind of say, hey, here's what the point of emphasis are. Here's what this is. And we ask them, and they'll tell you in some of those cases, because, you know, like I said, my big thing back in the day was always, how does Dwayne Wade get from the free throw line to the rim without jumping and it's never traveling? I said, he looks like a running back trying to go through. Then that's when I learned about the gather, and it doesn't count on the gather. I'm like, I don't know nothing about basketball. I really don't.
I love to watch a game with an NBA referee. I love to watch it back on the iPad with him. And I'm like, what the hell was you thinking right here? And look, you know how I am, Jason. I always say, if they'd be like, you know what? Man, I missed that one. I'll be like, okay, all right, we can move on with life. But don't explain to me how that was the right call when we all know that's not what the right call was.
And sometimes they'll just say it, I blew it.
Yeah.
You know, the game's moving fast. You know, things happen. And I think part of the issue we have is that, you know, the coaches have a challenge or whatever. But with all this technology, if something is blatant, say, especially in the final, say, minute, why can't there just be an automatic trigger? Like, hey, you missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are watching the game. They can see that. They could do all that. So I'm with that.
And that's why I see a 2-minute report is a waste of all of our time.
It absolutely is.
Like, yeah, we're going to tell you all the mistakes they made. It's like, some of those mistakes you could have corrected last night. Thanks for telling me now.
Look, thankfully, the 2-minute report is not anything Kings fans worry about too much anymore, man. Thankfully, tonight. They don't have to worry about it either, because De'Aaron Fox hit the game winner. Kings beat the Bulls 117-114. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about De'Aaron Fox and, you know, what's going on with this all-NBA status, this all-NBA possibility for De'Aaron Fox. A lot of buzz of that going on right now. It's Kenny Caraway, BSN 1320. It's Jason Jones of The Athletic. J Street Vibes. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on The Vibes, as some people like to call it, The Vibes. And we're recapping the Kings 117-114 victory over the Bulls. We talked about De'Aaron Fox and what he did, the game winner, 32 points on the night. Where is the stat? I think in his last 13 games, he's doing something ridiculous. Like, he's averaging like 31.3. I had the
Something like that. He's averaging over 30. Yeah.
Oh, I thought I had to. Oh, no,
I just saw it too. It was like he's like averaging 30 like in his last 14 or 16 games.
He's going crazy right now. And one of the biggest things about that is now it seems to be getting him in the discussion, and rightfully so, might I add, for an all-NBA selection. I always thought he was like, you know, he should be on that third team, but now you're getting national guys. Bill Simmons said he should probably be second team. Nick Wright, who I don't really listen to much at all, and I even think this might be a little extra. He said De'Aaron should be first team all NBA.
Folks are going to be like, oh, hell no, that's trolling.
The fact remains, though, Jason, I think he absolutely should be on the All-NBA team this year.
Yeah.
I think he's played to that level. I mean, it's getting to the point, like, you know, the season totals are like 25-6 and, you know, something like that. But, you know, when you talk about what he's done in the crunch time all throughout the year, he's going to win that Clutch Player of the Year award. And then when you talk about this stretch run, what he's been able to do, we're talking about, like I said, 31 points a night, 6 assists, all this other stuff. This is an All-NBA season from De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. So what I did was there are 6 spots for All-NBA, first, second, third team. Mm-hmm. I just started jotting down names of guys who could be in the mix for that outside of De'Aaron. Luka.
Okay.
Dame.
Okay.
Then you kind of get in. Then you got Donovan Mitchell. Shea. Gilgeous Alexander. That's 4.
Okay.
And then you kind of get into this murky water of guys who have missed a bunch of games, and does their reputation get them still in, and guys who could be either a guard or a forward. Guys I put in that category: Devin Booker.
Okay.
Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown, depending on if you want to call him a guard or a forward.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden, because of how well Philadelphia has played.
James Harden leading the NBA in assists.
Yeah. Drew Holiday, who's had a hell of a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ant-Man in Minnesota.
Love Ant-Man.
Yeah. And then I think Ja has probably sat himself out of contention this year.
I
think Kyrie is just weird to people, and the voters probably just don't like Kyrie.
Yeah. And Kyrie's got a real, I don't know if gripe is the word I'm looking for, but he's got a real case, right, to be an All-NBA player. Here's the question I want to ask you.
Yeah, so I look at that. I would think Luka's a lock. I think Dame's probably a lock. I think Donovan Mitchell's a lock. So that to me, those are three of your 6 slots. And then, you know, so – and then you probably say – I think, you know, with Shea's averaging over 30, there's a good chance he gets one of them. And then it's like, okay, do you – I think there are going to be 2 factors in this. The number of guards, 1, and 2, do voters say, if we pick Sabonis, we don't pick De'Aaron? I'm not saying that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I could see some voters going, I'm not giving the Kings 2 people.
Mm.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, but like I said, I think Ja's out there running. I think when it's all said and done, unless you know, there's a big groundswell of Jaylen Brown support, or like I said, folks go with Steph because he's Steph, even though he's missed, you know, a chunk of time or something like that. And that's why I'm glad they're looking at putting that rule in next year about minimum games played, because if you're just talking about as a player, people are going to put Steph ahead of De'Aaron every time. You know, but if Steph missed 30 games, should he really be, you know, whatever number ends up being, should he be ahead of De'Aaron? Right. I would say no, but there's no rule that says that he can't be.
Right.
You know, because I remember when Kawhi won Defensive Player of the Year the first time, I didn't vote for him. He missed 20 games. I didn't vote for him. And I was like, what the hell did I miss? He missed a chunk of games. He missed more than a quarter of the season. But they were like, you look at the advanced numbers and the impact he has when he does. I'm like, but being available has to matter.
I agree.
It has to matter. And that's why I would put De'Aaron, you know, not as a player, but just for this season. That's why I think De'Aaron deserves consideration ahead of Steph. I mean, if Steph plays in 60, I mean, that's what his final number is.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets, say, above 60, whatever the number is, you know, and my general rule is always, if you qualify to be a statistics leader, to me, you've played enough games. So I don't know where that's going to end up with Steph, but it's going to be – it's always tough because there's 6 slots.
Right.
And every voter has their own criteria, you know. And some – I always like to go point guard, shooting guard. That was my thing.
Yeah.
I tried to avoid going just 6 point guards. I always tried to get a 1 and a 2, a 1 and a 2, a 1 and a 2. Not everyone thinks like me, though. There's people who they'll put LeBron James at center on theirs. You know, they'll be like, well, he played center one time, you know. So there's never a rhyme or reason, but he's definitely going to be in the running. And why does that matter? You make enough NBA teams, you get way more money in that contract.
Absolutely. You make – now, we're getting into a category. He doesn't have a shoe deal right now. But those are how some of the shoe deals go, right? Like, if you make an all-star team in all-NBA, like, you're in line, you know, for a signature shoe or whatever with the deal, you can present that to, you know, your endorsement people. So not only money on the contract, but which is the most money, but you also got money off the court that gets tied into that as well.
Now, you can work that into your endorsement deal too. Hey, I make this team, you know, kick more bread.
Absolutely. Now I want to ask you something, because I agree with you on Steph. I think he should make it over Steph just on games played. You know, Steph is amazing when he played. Another 50 piece tonight. He's that dude. But when you talk about games missed, I think Fox should make it over Steph. But there's three guys you mentioned that I don't know if all three should be on there. And that's Dame, Luka, and Shai. Because you're looking at three guys that there's a real possibility none of them make the playoffs. And that's, like, I know they had great seasons, but that's what we're doing, especially when in the past, I don't know if voters said it or writers were saying it or whatever, but this isn't De'Aaron's best statistical season. He's had better numbers before. And the book was always, well, you're not winning.
I call it that Monte Ellis treatment. Yeah, you got numbers, but so what?
Yeah. So when you look at those guys, Dame, Luka, and Shai, and to be honest with you, for me personally, as unbelievable as he's been, I think Shai would be the odd man out with that, because Dame has been he's been sick, and they're going to finish like 13th in the West.
Yeah,
possibly. Luka is – I don't know how you could take it from Luka, and it probably doesn't seem fair to take it away from Shai, but I look at my All-NBA, I can't have – if I'm voting, I can't have three guys on there that are borderline bottom dwellers on their teams, and put them in over a guy who's having a hell of a season and has a top three team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, it's all the matter. It depends on the voter. Some people see the All-NBA as an individual award, not a team award. Because remember, that's what hurt DeMarcus Cousins for years.
Mm-hmm.
I would vote him second team, whatever, first, whatever, because I was like, to me, it was an individual thing. And if we're talking about centers, to me, I wasn't going to put, I don't know, just give me some random guy from that time.
Jamal McGlure.
I wasn't putting Jamal McGlure ahead of a DeMarcus Cousins because Jamal's team was better.
Yeah.
To me, the All-NBA is give me your three best centers, give me your six best forwards, and your six best guards.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think I'm one of the voters, right? I gotta, if things are equal, team success comes into play at that point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
So that's how I look at it. I think, and it's unfair. I ain't trying to crap on Shai's season because he's been unbelievable.
And I think the fact that they're in the top 10 right now, I mean, who had them being in the top 10? So I think you consider who he's playing with. You know, outside of Josh Giddey, I can't name a Oklahoma City Thunder player that's like, wow, got to watch out for him. You know, so, I mean, I think if they finish like 500 or close to 500, is it a 50-win season? No, but considering where they were last year, I think that people are going to give Shai a lot of credit for that.
You know who it is, and like if we're being fair, who the guy is? It's Dame. Like, but he's been amazing. But his team is ass. Like they're ass. They're 31-38. They're gonna finish 13th in the West.
Poor Dame.
But I mean, that would be the guy. But then we're sitting here and we're looking at the year that he's having, the numbers that he's putting up. I'm like, yo, I'm really gonna say Dame Lillard shouldn't be there. He's averaging 32.3.
Yeah, are you gonna make it strictly an individual honor, or are you gonna give credit to what the team is doing? If it's a team thing, you're looking at there's guys who don't have the stats. You got to look at. You know, what kind of season did a Jamal Murray have? You know, you know, even though he may not have the stats, you know, he's on, you know, he could be on the number one team in the, you know, and that's where a guy like a James gets, you know, gets love. That's where a Drew Holiday, who may be the best two-way point, you know, the best defensive point guard in the league. So you start getting into stuff like that when you start going, well, if we're going to weigh heavily on team stuff. And Drew, that's not to not, Drew shouldn't take away from De'Aaron in that kick. They're both on, you know, on good teams. But, you know, when you start getting, like I said, the team records, yeah, you start doing all type of different stuff. Like I said, then you got to look at Jaylen Brown.
And there, in the scenario that you laid out, I think there's still room for De'Aaron to make it and those other guys, because you got the four, and then you said it got murky with Steph and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah,
and
Donovan has to
make Donovan, it. He's a lock. He's absolutely
Donovan
lock.
Has to make it. And I think I kind of think James will make it hard.
Yeah, well, now we're getting into like I said.
You know, what about Tyrese Halliburton?
No. Like, we can't have all these losers, the losing team players on here.
Okay. It's going to be all over Twitter. Kenny Caraway called Tyrese Halliburton a loser.
Tyrese Halliburton is not a loser. His team is not a playoff team.
Yeah, my point was just that if you start, you know, start just getting looking into it, I'm not saying Tyrese is all NBA this year. I just think, especially at guard, you know, because sometimes you can kind of get a little wiggle room with the front court. You can just say he's a front court player, you know. Instead of saying he's a center,
they might be with the bonus.
Yeah, and then you got a guy like I said, a Jaylen Brown or even a Luka. Some people might say, well, is he a guard? Is he a forward? You know, a Paul George is in the same category. Some people might vote Paul. And that's what could mess with De'Aaron. Paul George might get votes as a guard.
And I mean, Paul George, but then we talking the same thing we talked about with Steph when you talk about Paul George.
Yeah, but then again, Paul George made the All-Star team, and I thought he had missed a bunch of time. So it really is, I think until they put a rule in that ties these awards and these honors to a percentage of games played, it's always going to be murky because, I mean, Steph just dropped 50 again. You know, could you really get angry at someone if they were like, hey, I'm going to put Steph on their team? I mean, I guess you could, but they could be like, that's Steph. Like, yeah. Steph is still Steph.
De'Aaron Fox, 25.5 points per game, 6.3 assists, 4.3 rebounds, 1.2 steals. Let's not leave out the fact that I also think he could be an all-defensive selection as well.
Ain't no king getting all-defense or nothing.
I'm just saying.
If anybody vote for a king to be all defense, they should lose their vote.
Who are the guards that should be getting it? Drew. That's the only one I could think of.
Drew definitely is going to get that.
Because back to our original, ain't nobody defending. So.
Drew playing defense.
I know. I gave Drew. He's one. There's four slots.
Marcus Smart plays defense.
All right. There's Marcus Smart.
Your boy Pat Bev plays defense.
Hell no. I think De'Aaron should be second team all defense when you talk.
I'm not putting nobody from the Sacramento Kings on the all defensive team. All defense. I'm not doing it. I will not. I ain't got a vote this year, so you ain't got to worry about that. I'm just saying. Sacramento King on all defense.
That's ridiculous, man. Like I said, when you pull up the fourth quarter numbers, it's there.
If I had a vote, I would. No king can get an all defensive vote.
Let's see. You said Marcus Smart. Celtics had the ninth points per game, the ninth best defense in the league. Kings aren't last. That's impressive.
Man, about your boy Dylan Brooks?
Yeah, not my boy.
That's your boy.
Dylan Brooks, but he's doing too much nowadays, man. That ain't my boy. But De'Aaron Fox should be on the All-NBA team, man. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about this game that they have tonight in Brooklyn, a back-to-back for the Kings. We'll get into it. It's Kenny Caraway of ESPN 1320. Jason Jones of The Athletic, J Street Vibes. We'll be right back. J Street Vibes back at it here, you know, after Kings win. Feels good, you know. I got to come up with these Drake bars, man. They got me writing like I'm writing for Dre. Just song after song. It's just getting crazy, man. All these Drake bars coming on here on D-Lo and KC. It used
to be a special occasion.
I know. It used to be a lot easier. I could like go a whole week and prepare we only getting one win. Now it's just night after night. It's going like, crazy.
You're right on a 7-game losing streak. I ain't got to say a damn thing about this team.
So yeah, man, I gotta get that together. However, they got another opportunity for a win in Drake bars because they got the new Brooklyn Nets. Some of you guys listening to this, actually everybody's gonna be listening to this on Thursday. So they play the Brooklyn Nets tonight in Brooklyn. Last time they played Brooklyn, they put 151 on TNT on their head in the Golden 1 Center. I don't think that will happen again, but it's going to be an interesting game. I thought the Chicago game was interesting because I don't think Chicago's like they're not good, but they're not terrible, and they're fighting for something. So I was
like, a way to describe a team. They're not.
Yeah, they're just kind of there, and I kind of feel that way about I feel that way about Brooklyn. They play hard. They're kind of just there, and it's a dangerous game. I think Brooklyn has enough talent, and especially the way Mikal Bridges is playing. That's a team that you cannot take lightly, and you're going in on a back-to-back, you know, traveling from Chicago to New York. That's not exactly traveling from Philly to New York. That's going a couple time zones there. Well, just one time zone. But, yeah, like, all right, let's see what they can do in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, it's not, you know, you hope that if you're a Kings fan, the guys don't land and decide to hit up some of the, you know, the night spots. And
just go to your hotel room, guys. It's about 2 a.m.
Hey, there ain't going to be no shoot around because it's back to back. Guys going to sleep in. So, you know, if you got people out there, it might be the time to do your thing. But. So Brooklyn's had some good wins since that trade, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was like, you know. Well, they're going to fall apart. They're 9 games above 500.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, they're not a terrible team. They don't have a superstar now, but you know, they got your boy Ben Simmons still. Is he still on the team?
We ain't seen or heard from Ben Simmons in I don't know how long. Get well soon, Ben. I'm rooting for Ben Simmons. I just wouldn't have traded De'Aaron Fox for him.
I wouldn't. And what's crazy is there are a lot of people who were saying. Couple of journalists told, I said, you don't give up De'Aaron for him. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of journalists say, how about this? Ben Simmons is a 2-time All-Star.
I used to always throw that out there.
Will De'Aaron ever be an All-Star? And that was kind of the thing. You get it.
I need to find those tweets from people. I need to find them. I'm bringing those back.
So, I mean, this is a game, like I said, it's one of those games where could you win? Yeah. Could you definitely lose? Yeah. You know, you just want to get in there, get to Brooklyn, get to New York. I mean, they probably really stay in Manhattan. I don't think any teams don't really stay in Brooklyn. I always stayed in Brooklyn, but that was me. Yeah, you know, Brooklyn got Brooklyn got a cool nightlife. I got people in Brooklyn. You know, that's where I learned the joy of wine bars and sleeping in and missing shoot around because you're like, oh, I was out till 3 a.m. drinking wine and. No one's going to see me at shoot around. And the Brooklyn Bridge Marriott's cool, you know. But that all that being said, I just, you know, hey, you see what happens. You know, the back-to-back, you know, 3 games in 4 nights. A lot of times that last night is the game where you're like, okay, maybe some tired legs kick in, you know. 3 games, 4 nights, 3 different time zones. They're consistently losing an hour. We already lost an hour with daylight savings. I'm just going to throw in every excuse that I've ever heard someone say. You know, the floor in Brooklyn looks different. There's plenty of reasons.
The lighting in Barclays needs to be better.
Yeah. Maybe I don't like East Coast music and playing Biggie and Jay-Z. You know, just get all your excuses. You know, I had some pizza that was too hot. It burned the roof of my mouth. You know.
That happens.
We get all your excuses. You put them in a pot, and then you see. Are you going to cook with the excuses? Or are you going to go out there and get a win?
Well, check this out. Mikal Bridges in the month of March, 21 points, 38, 33, 30, 10. We ain't talking about that. 34, 25, 34. He's averaging 28.1 in the month of March, shooting 49% from the field. And get this, 45% from beyond the arc. I think that's good. Yeah, he has been lights out since the trade. He's somebody you got to worry about, and you combine him with Finney Smith. You combine him with Royce O'Neal, with Seth Curry, Joe Harris. They got shooting all around. Nick Claxton is there. They got some guys that can play, and they were just sitting back waiting for the Kings to get into Brooklyn. So it's a game that is going to be tough. But you know what, Jason? One thing that we've seen from this team this year is they're always ready to play. Mm-hmm. They're always ready to play. And I don't think tomorrow will be any different, or today when you listen to this. I don't think that'll be any different. I think they're going to be ready to go, ready to compete. And we'll see if they got enough to beat the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, they haven't had a whole bunch of clunkers this year where you just go, oh, God, what the hell did I just watch? They haven't had a whole bunch of those.
Right.
You know, if they lose, they lose. I don't think it'll be because, you know, they were in Harlem, you know, doing the Harlem, you know.
Hanging with Killer Cam. They're on It Is What It Is with
Killer, yeah, Killer Cam. Cam over there just shitting on people. I'm like, damn, man. This took a big dump on Chris Paul. He was on Ja Morant's dad. Like, be a father to your child. Like, God dang, man. Ja's a grown man. I don't think his daddy was like, hey, put the gun on your IG.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, Kings Nets tonight, this afternoon here on the West Coast for all my West Coast Kings fans, 4:30 start. And, yeah, we'll see what the Kings are able to do, man. So, Jay, before we get out of here, what you got going on, man? What you got, anything to plug? What's going on?
When you hear it, it'll drop. Yeah, it would have dropped yesterday. We did a whole little beer bracket at the Athletic. Oh, I contributed, you know. And
we're still doing brackets out here, huh?
Hey, it's not a real bracket, though. It's just like a bunch of beers.
I like the real bracket better. How many times do you think they've done a beer bracket?
A million. And then these people who do they still drink Miller Lite and hot and natural light. They drink the same damn beer still.
What do you think is the bracket people do the most? I'll say it's candy. It's probably
candy in the cereal brackets.
They do it every year.
And then somebody did a Young Jeezy's. Somebody I saw it online. It was
Jay Billis.
The Jay Billis Young Jeezy song. I'm like, I had the 5 seed on his bracket. I had seen it all. I said, put on.
I don't know where put on is.
If I was seen it all, a 5 seed. I mean, that's a sneaky good 5 seed.
Seen it all. Like you said, it is sneaky. It is sneaky. That's the cut right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if he's got one better than Soul Survivor. Go Crazy. You know, Go Crazy, you had to be a 1 seed, right?
Boom, boom, clap. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Clap.
And then what? And then boom, what? Boom, clap. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I got it here right here. My Hood is a 1. I don't think My Hood should be a 1.
Yeah, nah. I got questions for the committee on that one. What the hell were y'all thinking?
Yeah, I don't think shit. Put on is a 2. He don't have Go Crazy. I'm closing this. He don't even have Go Crazy on here. Jay Billis. No, I was about to say.
He's fired.
We're not gonna have Go Crazy on there.
Yeah, he's fired. He's fired right along with the Raiders decision makers. I mean, they're both fired.
Oh, man. Feel for you, bro. Feel for you.
Oh, that's okay. And by the way, before we go, De'Aaron had the quote of the night. I'm fucking nice.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And I think he had the quote of the night.
We go end on that one. You can check me out on ESPN 1320, D'Lo and KC, 12 to noon to 4 every single day, Monday through Friday, and everything that's going on with these Kings. That's what we talk about all day, every day. Sacramento Kings. So if you love what you hear on this podcast, tap into D'Lo and KC, and you get more and more and more of that every single day, man. So for Jason Jones of The Athletic, I'm Kenny Caraway of ESPN 1320. Y'all be good. We up out of here. Peace.